Well, we're in a series here at St. Clement's on Sunday mornings looking at the early chapters of Genesis. We're going back to the beginning. In fact, we're going back to the beginning of the beginnings. And we're doing so because we want to know how to live well today. And in order to know how to live well today, we need to know answers to questions like, where do we come from? Who are we? Why are we here? And so we're looking at the beginning. Last week we looked at the song of creation in Genesis chapter 1, how God designed the world so that he could delight in the world. And he designed the world so that we, his creatures, could delight in him. This week I want us to focus on day 6 and the creation of human beings. You see, when God created human beings, he created us different than anything else. When you read through Genesis chapter 1, the rhythm of the chapter is broken up when God created human beings. The flow of the narrative slows down. There's more words to describe God creating us. In fact, there's a little poem in verse 27 to describe how we're made. And when God made us, he said, let us make man. When he made the animals, he said, let the earth bring forth creatures. You see, God made us in a distinct way. You're made different than the animals were made. In chapter 2, and when we come to it, we'll see that God actually, he says in chapter 2, took mud from the ground, molded it with his hands, and breathed life into the first man's nostrils. God designed us personally, both body and soul. God didn't make animals like that. You see, if God is the great artist, and the universe is the gallery in which he displays his artwork, then human beings are his masterpiece. You are his masterpiece. Now the question is, why? Why did God go into so much trouble in making human beings? Why did he make us distinct from the animals? What makes us special and unique? What actually is a human being? It's quite a simple question, but it's very important. Well, God tells us in verse 26. He says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. See, the ultimate definition of what a human being is that a human being is someone who has been made in the image of God. Elephants weren't made in the image of God. Neither were dogs. Human beings were made in the image of God. You are made in God's image. Now, God's image is, being made in God's image is closely related to work. We're going to look at that next week. It's closely related to gender. God made human beings male and female in his image. We'll look at that in a few weeks' time. But this morning, what I want us to do is look simply at what it means to be made in God's image. Why does it matter? And how can that image be remade? So what does it mean to be made in God's image? Why does it matter? And how can that image be remade? First of all, what does it mean? What does it mean that you are made in God's image? Well, it means this. You were created to image God. That's the reason that you exist. To image God, that's what an image is, isn't it? An image images something. You know, when you get chatting to a friend that you haven't seen for a while and, yeah, you get talking about life and you get talking about how things are going, you know, one of you often says, oh, yeah, how's your family getting on? And so what do? You get out your phone and you start flicking through some pictures. Why do you do that? You know, what are those pictures doing? They're showing your family. They're imaging your family to this person. That's what a photograph is. Well, God has made you to be his photograph, to show him in the world and to the world. Or take, as another example, the example of a mirror. You know, what's the purpose of a mirror? The purpose of a mirror is to reflect an image. God made you to be a mini mirror, to reflect him, to reflect him back to himself, and to reflect him to the world around, to reflect his character, to reflect his holiness, to reflect his beauty. You see, God has made you to be beautiful, that you might display his beauty. You see, when God made the world, we saw last week that God designed it. His fingerprints are over everything that he has made. God is powerful. And so we see his power in creation. God is wise. We see that in wisdom he made everything. He made birds to fly and fish to swim and not the other way around. And God made everything good. Now, as you are made in God's image, you were created to express that character. God has given you, as his image bearer, creative power to use wisely for good purposes. And as you do that, you will image God in the world. You will show to the world how beautiful God actually is. Now, in order to image God, you need to be in a relationship with God. I was speaking about this, but being made in the image of God in the assembly at St. Clement's School on Wednesday. And so I took in a giant mirror, because children always love props. Adults, let's be honest, we love little props like that. Maybe I should have brought one in. And I took in a giant mirror. And of course, what does every child in the assembly hall, all 200 of them, want to do when you bring in a giant mirror? They want to see themselves in the mirror. You know, and so that I'm holding it up and they're all peering and standing and trying to get a glimpse of themselves. Well, that's what God wants to do. God wants to see himself in the mirror of your life. And the only way those children could see themselves is if they were facing the mirror, if the mirror was facing them. The only way that you can reflect God back to himself is if you're facing God. You see, the only way that you can image God is if you're in a relationship with him. That's the only way that you'll be able to reflect his character. And that's why God has made you. God has made you to be in a relationship with him, to reflect him beautifully. You see, when you face somebody, when a mirror faces somebody, the image of that person is reflected back. When you face God, the image of God is reflected back from you. His beauty is reflected back from you. His glory is reflected back from you. And so you become beautiful. You become glorious. See, that's what God has made you to be. Just as sunflowers face the sun, that they might get some glory from it, God has made you to face him. Because you're an image bearer, God has made you to bear his image. And if you don't bear his image, you will bear another image. You know, because we're made as image bearers, we're not made as neutral beings. We don't produce our own glory, our own beauty. We reflect glory and beauty. Like the moon reflects light from the sun, so you will reflect light from whatever you are facing. You know, we know this deep down, don't we? We know that we need to get a sense of identity and significance from something. We know that we need to bear the image of something. If you don't get it from God, you'll get it from something else. You know, one of the biggest issues in our society is a lack of identity, an identity crisis. Who are we? What are we? What would you say your identity is? Where do you get your significance from? What are you facing in life? Sometimes people get their identity and significance from family. Sometimes from job or success. Sometimes from money. The Bible says, I'm your identity. You're made in my image. You're made to face me. You know, value and identity go close together. And so you're as valuable as the identity that you have. Sometimes you hear about people who are worth £500 million or £2 billion. If you're made in God's image, how valuable are you? See, the Bible says you've been made to bear God's image. And when you bear God's image, it will impact people around you. Whatever image you bear will impact those around you. I remember a friend telling me that they went to visit their granddad, and the granddad used to read the Daily Mail from cover to cover every day. And he said that he'd done that for 20 years. And so when they went to see the granddad, what came out in conversation was the Daily Mail. He reflected the Daily Mail in the words that he said, because that is what he was bringing in every day. If you look to God, then you'll reflect God every day. You'll reflect his beauty every day. And if you look to the Daily Mail, that's what you'll reflect to other people. If you look to football, that's what you'll reflect to other people. If you look to family, that's what you'll reflect to other people. You see, you'll reflect whatever you face. And God says, face me. Look and see me as your God. And as you do that, you will reflect me to others. You will use all the creative powers that I have given you wisely for good purposes. See, you've been made to image God. So why does it matter that you've been made in the image of God? Why does it matter that you know that you remember that? What difference does it make in your life? Why is it important to know that you are made in God's image? Well, it changes you. It changes the way you view yourself. It changes the way you view others. It changes the way you engage with people who are weak and vulnerable. And it gives you an answer to that question about why is there so much badness in the world. See, first of all, it changes the way you view yourself. See, to be made in the image of God means this. It means that no matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter what you are like, it doesn't matter what's gone on in your life or what's happened to you, you have a value and a worth and a significance and an importance which is out of this world. You are more valuable than you could possibly imagine. You know, self-esteem is a big issue in our culture. And, you know, we all feel bad and get down every now and again. And what do people say when you're feeling down? People say, well, don't feel down. It's not that helpful often when you're feeling down for someone to come and tell you, don't feel down, because you're like, well, I do feel down. But, you know, people say, don't feel down, you know. Think positively about yourself. Think positively about life. Think positively about things. You know, you can do it. You've got worth. You've got significance. You're important. Well, why am I significant? Why am I important? You know, often we're told that human beings are just created by the accidental collision of atoms. You know, we're just complex animals. Well, if we're just complex animals, why are we more significant than animals? You know, when Tony came round to our house, the gardener, you know, why was it okay for him to poison the wasp nest that was stinging my children? Why would it be wrong for him to poison my children that were standing next to the wasp nest? Because you're more than an animal. You're made in the image of God. And so you have a worth and a significance and a value that is greater than any animal, that is greater than anything else in this world. Your value is connected to God himself, who's the most valuable being. And so you've got worth and dignity beyond your imagination. But it also changes the way you view other people, because it means that your neighbours are valuable. The members of your family are valuable. The person you're sitting next to this morning is valuable, whether you like them or not. You know, your boss at work is valuable. If everybody is made in the image of God, then there's no ordinary, mundane person in the world. Everybody is valuable and precious because they've been made in the image of God. Everybody has significance and worth. You know, the people you hang out with, the people you don't hang out with, the people you laugh with and the people you cry with, and the people you just pass on the street or sit next to on the bus, they have a value and a worth and a dignity which is out of this world, because they are made in the image of God. And because they're made in the image of God, then they will image God as his image bearers. And so we shouldn't push people away. We shouldn't dismiss them. We shouldn't treat them badly. We shouldn't trample on them to get our own way. We should treat everybody with dignity and respect. But it also changes the way we treat those who are weaker, those who are vulnerable. In Genesis chapter 9, God says that he's going to hold to account every human being for the way they treat other people. And the reason he gives for that is because he says in Genesis 9 that every person is made in the image of God. And because everybody's made in the image of God, we should treat everybody with respect and dignity. Every human being is of equal value, men and women, whether you're black or whether you're white, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're clever, whether you're not so clever, whether you're capable of doing lots of things or whether you're not capable of doing lots of things. That means that has huge significance for the way we treat people, for the way we treat people who are unborn, the way we treat infants and toddlers, the way we treat our elderly and those who've got dementia, the way we treat people who are mentally and physically handicapped. Every person is made in the image of God, and so everybody has a dignity and a worth and a value and God-given rights. You know, if we don't ground our identity in being made in the image of God, what else can we ground our identity in? Well, the only other thing that you can ground your identity in is your creative powers. How capable you are as a person. And those who are more capable have got more worth and more dignity and more value. And those who've got are less capable have got less value and less dignity and less worth. But God says, no, that's not right. Every single person, from the moment of conception to the moment that they die, has value and worth and dignity and should be treated as such. That's why as Christians we've always stood against abortion. Because the unborn has a value and a dignity which is out of this world. It's why we've always looked after our elderly. It's why we look after those who are mentally and physically handicapped, because they are valuable to God, made in his image. See, Christians have always protected life because life is in God's image. But because life is in God's image, yes, we protect the unborn, but we don't treat those who've had abortions badly. We treat them with love and with grace because they're made in God's image as well. We extend grace to everybody. We look after every person and treat them with equal respect and equal dignity. Now, this is one of the things, this is one of the reasons why William Wilberforce stood against slavery all those years ago, because he said it doesn't matter where a person comes from or what a person is like, they have equal status in the sight of God because they are an image bearer of God. So Christians stand against slavery. You see, as Christians, we say that every person is valuable because every person is made in the image of God. But also, knowing that we are made in the image of God gives us a reason and an explanation for why there's so much violence and destruction in the world. See, why is there so much violence in the world? Why is there so much knife crime? Why do people trample on each other and treat each other badly? Why do people kill each other? You see, knowing that we're made in the image of God gives us an answer to that. Because although we're made in the image of God, although we're made as mirrors to reflect God back to himself, what do? Well, we turn the mirror of our lives away from God to other things. We stop reflecting back to God his image, and we start reflecting the image of other things. And so, because the image of God in us is marred, is broken, we begin to break the image of God and destroy it in other people. That's why we treat each other badly. Because the photo is blurred. Because the mirror is reflecting away from God, that's the ultimate reason why people treat each other badly. I was listening to the radio a while ago, and it was all about knife crime. And the interviewer got somebody in and spoke to him about knife crime and said, look, you used to be part of a gang. You used to carry a knife and were into drugs. How did you stop? Why did you stop? And he said, do you want me to be honest? He said, the reason I stopped is I became a Christian. I knew that God loved me. And God told me, because he loved me, that I didn't need to carry a knife around anymore. I didn't need to find my identity in doing that sort of stuff, because I knew that I was loved by him. And she said, well, what would you tell all the, you know, imagine there's people listening who are involved in gangs and drugs. What would you tell them? How would you encourage them to stop carrying knives? He said, I'll tell them that God loves them, that God's got a plan for their life. I'd say, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. You don't need to carry a knife as an identity marker. You see, how can our lives be transformed? By knowing that we're loved by God. You see, as you know that you're loved by God, so the image of God in you will be remade. You will be transformed into his likeness. So how do we know that? How do we know that God loves us? When Jesus Christ came into the world, he came as the ultimate image bearer, the perfect image of God. Colossians chapter 1 says, he was the image of the invisible God par excellence. He fully and perfectly resembled God because he was God in the flesh. No one's ever seen God, John says in John 1. But Jesus has revealed him perfectly. And yet, what happened to the perfect image of God when he came to earth? He became a servant. He was treated worse than the worst of slaves. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was scourged so badly that he looked awful. He was so marred more than any person. And then he was hung on the cross and killed. The perfect image of God was destroyed. And why did he do that? He did that for you. He wasn't bearing his own sins when he died on the cross. He bore your sins on the cross. He didn't die for his own filthiness because he was beautiful in the way he lived. He died for your filthiness. He perfectly reflected God the whole of his life. He died because you and I haven't reflected God perfectly in the whole of our lives. He died in your place, bearing your sins, receiving your punishment. So that as you look to him, God's Spirit can come into your life and forgive you and change you and renew you and remake you into the image of God once more. And as you keep looking to him and keep fixing your eyes on what he's done for you, so that image will be restored more and more, and you'll become more and more the beautiful person that God has made you to be. You'll be changed from one degree of glory and beauty to the next. Change from glory into glory. Till in heaven you take your place. Till you cast your crowns before him. Lost in wonder, love and praise. See, the more you look to him, the more you'll be transformed into his likeness. The more you will live as God made you to be. The more you will use the creative powers God has given you to live wise and good lives, loving him and serving him and loving other people and looking out for the weak and looking out for the needy. Not trampling on people to get ahead, but lifting people up because they're made in God's image too. And one day, as you keep looking to him, one day God's image will be made perfect in you again. In fact, it will be better than the image that Adam had because it's once been broken. And one day you will shine in glory, displaying the glory and the beauty and the majesty of God. If you could see what you are going to be like, you would bow down and worship yourself. Because you will reflect God's glory to that extent. That's how beautiful you will be. If that's what God has made you to be, if that's where you're going, get on board with what he's doing in your life now. If you're made in the image of God, live like you're made in the image of God. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that you've made us in your image to reflect your glory and beauty. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to live as the people you've created us to be the beautiful people you want us to be. Help us to look to you and to face you in all your beauty, that your beauty might transform us, remake us, and be reflected through us. That we might have an impact on our community, on our city, on our country. That other people might look to us and say, why do you live like that? Why do you act like that? And that we might encourage them to do the same. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.